Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160.
Assail, and thou hast
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, thereof the fourth chapter, Romans chapter 4. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, and that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how can we come before thee? Because we are in ourselves filthy and polluted, and we have not a right supplication, we have not a right thought, and we have not a right motive in our heart. We can but come to thee in and through him who is so pleasing in thy sight, him of whom thou didst say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. O Lord, wilt thou look upon us in and through him? For as we have read out of thy word, that promise that is made sure to all the seed, not those who are of the law only, but also those who are of that faith of Abraham. Then it is also for today, for us and for our dear children, if we may only be given by thee that same faith to believe in him who raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. O Lord, it is before him that we must come, and that we must stand at thy judgment seat. We must give an account of our life, of our creation, and also of our fall, and of thy holy word, and of all the opportunities given to us and to our children. That message that thou dost give unto us, that we may receive the knowledge of our fall, but also of that way of redemption. We are accountable for all that we receive. That thou may bind it upon our hearts, that we could not let thee go except that thou would bless us. Lord, look upon us, each and every one, when we are careless going over this world, and when we have no desire, no hunger, no thirst, and when we can come to thy house, and when we go away time and again, harder, colder than we have ever come, or than eternity shall be long, and that worm that dieth not shall gnaw forever and forever upon our conscience. Oh, that thou may give us a little impression thereof this day, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, and that we may not be permitted by thee to harden ourselves and to work out our own destruction, even as a Pharaoh of old, who received so many warnings and so many callings. Lord, that thou would look upon us in thy mercy. Oh, that thou would come unto each and every one of us under the preaching, under the reading of thy holy word, and that thou would apply that word with power. Look upon all thy children. They are called by thee. They are known by thee from that never begun eternity. They are lying under that seal of election, or they have already been called. Lord, wilt thou look on them this day? Oh, that thou mayst strengthen those who are in distress, those who are in the midst of that battle, that warfare against sin, and who fear that it shall end in an eternal destruction. Lord, may thou help them, and may thou undergird them and teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight. But wilt thou show them something of him who has bruised that head of Satan, that the battle that is already accomplished, and that there is nothing that is required of them, and that they shall be cared for, and that they shall persevere even unto the end, in and through thine only begotten Son. Lord, wilt thou remember each and every one of thy dear children? They are over the length and the breadth of this whole world, as we have just read out of thy holy word, and not of the circumcision only, but also of the uncircumcision. Oh, that thou may then send forth more laborers into thy vineyard, to go forth amongst the stated churches, the established churches, but also amongst those who have never heard, that thou may raise up those upon whose heart it is bound, that thy word may be brought, and that the nations may be made inexcusable, that thy kingdom may come, that many may be brought to that true and tender fear of thy holy name, that thy children may receive comfort, instruction, that they may be established in the faith, and that thou would lead them further into that knowledge of the triune God. Lord, instruct us also as thy servants, that we also may receive from thee that instruction from above, that leading of thy Holy Spirit, that we may also be enabled to lead thy church. And wilt thou look upon all those on the mission fields? Wilt thou strengthen them in their labors, whatever that they may be far from their loved ones? Remember also the meetings that must take place in the week to come. Our brother also in the consistory that must travel to those meetings in this week. Grant him traveling mercies and help in all the discussions. Give wisdom from above and the fear of thy name. And wilt thou bless the labors that are being performed in that place. And wilt thou be pleased to continue them. Wilt thou look upon all those that are in the warfares, those that give their lives even in such great danger day by day. Be with them in this day. Be with them in the week to come again. Wilt thou protect and watch over them, strengthen all their loved ones, and oh, give that the solution may be wrought by thee and worked out by thee in the midst of all these battling peoples. And Lord, wilt thou protect us also here on our own homeland, where the enemy seeks more and more to make inroads in this land. Lord, may thou watch over and protect us in mercy. But wilt thou also give us an impression how that thou dost bring the end times upon us, and that we must hasten for the sake of our life. Lord, teach us to receive that prize that is set before us. Wilt thou look upon all our rulers and those that must make decisions on our behalf, the judges of our land, be on their right and on their left day by day. Give a turning of our country from all the ways of sin, and give us to seek and to serve thee. Give us a true repentance, a place in sackcloth and ashes, even as it was in Nineveh, when thou didst declare, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, that there may be a true remorse, a true turning unto thy law and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou look upon parents and children, husbands and wives, give great love amongst us as a congregation between members, and may thou work with power. Lord, come among us. We do not deserve it. Our sins testify against us, and they rise as a mountain of guilt in thy sight. And we are so deserving that we would be left by thee, and that we would never hear any more of that same work that thou hast worked in our forefathers in days gone by. Lord, wilt thou give us a true cry? Wilt thou give us a true plea? Wilt thou give us to storm thy throne of grace, that we may receive an undeserved blessing, us and our dear children? Look upon us in this afternoon hour. Help us to preach. Help us to hear. Oh, bless us undeservedly out of heaven. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 68, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord His own will lead, if His word they still obey, and His testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 68. congregation some time ago when we have considered together Lord's Day 7. And then it was asked, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? What is necessary to believe? Is that very important? Not in the mentality of the world today. Then you hear so often it is so necessary, it is profitable that man believes something, that he has some faith, that he has some religion. Or actually today, it has even become acceptable that man believes nothing at all. That it is all relative, that what is good for one, that is not necessarily good for another. That is not what we read in the Holy Word of God. For we read that salvation that consists in a certain knowledge. Salvation that consists in a relationship. It is a relationship, a covenant relationship with a triune God. Thus, we have heard something of this from week to week out of our confession. When we have considered the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And outside of such a covenant relation, it is impossible that we should be saved. And now when our instructors, they finish speaking about the object of that faith, that is, what is necessary for a person to believe, then they are asking after the profit of this faith. And this we wish to consider together in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 23. And there are only questions 59 and 60. Lord's Day 23. Questions 59 and 60. Question 59. But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. Question 60, how art thou righteous before God? Answer, only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding, God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, even so as if I never had had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. So far, our Lord's Day. A sinner's justification before God. First, and the substance of this justification, which we find in question 59. And second, the foundation of this justification, which we find in question 60. A sinner's justification before God. First, the substance of this justification. Second, the foundation of this justification. But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life? Righteous before God. What a wonder, congregation, that is. Righteous before God. That is the testimony of a fallen man. That is not a false testimony. That is a true testimony. He speaks in truth. That is not something only known by this man, but that is something known in heaven. That is a testimony which has been given in the heart of this man by the Lord Himself. Are you jealous of that man? Do you desire the portion of that man? What does that mean? What he says, righteous before God. We heard something of that in this morning hour. To be right. Do you remember, boys and girls? Righteous. To be right with God. That is according to His law. That there is nothing in between. That there is no sin. That there is nothing whereby that law does condemn me. That there is only communion. That there is only favor. Righteous before God. Or are we ever jealous of the portion of that people? You say, many make such a confession. Many make such claims, and I am not jealous of so many of those people. Well, we are glad that you are not jealous of many of them. And why are you not jealous? Because you feel something of the superficiality of that claim. Talk is cheap. Johnny Eager speaker, he says so much. How many are beginning here? Or how many are coming to this place with a hop, a skip, and a jump? Righteous before God. Actually, congregation, that is a place that is so natural for you and I to begin. And why is that so natural that you and I would begin in such a place? Because we do not see by nature anything of our vileness. We do not see by nature anything of our separation and why that we ought to be separated from that God. We read of Israel that they are asking the prophet Jeremiah, why? Why is it that the Lord has pronounced upon us all this evil that you say is coming? Why? What is our transgression? What is now our sin? Congregation, does that not also lie in our own heart? Do we see our sin? By nature, we are so blind. Then we say, why? What is the reason that the Lord is angry? What is the reason that there is a separation? What have we done? What is in our life? This this Lord's Day that is speaking about justification before God. Where does man begin? Where do you begin? Where do I begin? We begin congregation, and not only do we begin there, but we end there. That is, with justifying ourselves before God. What have we done? What is our transgression? What is our sin? This justification of ourselves before God, that is never going to stand in the judgment. The Lord tells us that when we come to stand before Him on that great day, that there are so many that are still, even in the last day, even in the last judgment, that are still going to continue as we have done our whole life, that are still going to speak the same, that are still going to attempt to justify themselves before God. Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name have done many wonderful works? Justification of ourselves before God. The Lord says that He will say, I never knew you. Then it is remarkable how that we read that that people are still going to give an answer to the Lord. We see a boldness in the natural man today, that boldness that will continue to the last day, even to the judgment. That man that will return an answer to the Lord, to say, Lord, when have we seen Thee naked in prison? When have we seen Thee in peril? And when that we have not ministered unto Thee? Everything that man shall say in that day shall not be sufficient to justify himself before God. But we need congregation to be justified by God Himself. And this is what the Lord is doing for His own church. But how? Then first, it is necessary that the Lord is stripping us of all our self-justification. Did the Lord ever do that in your life? That you did not dare to attempt to justify yourself anymore before God. To say, as we can read it, Lord, we have sinned. Lord, we have transgressed. Lord, we have committed iniquity. That is the reason that the Lord is saying to His servants to cry aloud, to lift up their voice as a trumpet, to show unto the house of Israel their sins. Oh, Paul, he says, I am the least of all the apostles. Why? I am not even meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. No, then Paul could not, then Paul did not dare anymore to justify himself before God. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive
ourselves. What did the prodigal say? He says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Or that is just the opposite. When that people will come before the judgment seat of God, and when they shall have to give an answer, then we read, when saw we thee naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee in prison and came unto thee? Oh, they are the furthest away. From that self-justification, it is the opposite. Then it is a people who have an impression that they are not able to stand before the judgment seat of God against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. That is a people that are seeking how they can be reconciled to that God, how it can be made right again with that God. How should men be just with God? How? Is that also our question? How can I be made right with God? Mr. Worldly Wiseman had an answer. Do you remember, young people? Have you read it? Mr. Worldly Wiseman, he had an answer to this. That great burden on the back. How to get rid of it? How? City of Morality. Go there to Mr. Civility. There live a decent life. Live according to a reduced standard of the law. Don't let your conscience condemn you in the things that you do. And so many end in that place. But the Lord does not permit His people, if they may come sometime in that place, to remain in that place. But where is He bringing them? Bringing them before that Mount Sinai. And they're showing to them what is the true law of God. That it is not mere outward, but that it is spiritual. That it is inward. Why? Why does the Lord bring them to that place? Because the Lord is going to make it right with His people. The Lord is going to make it right between God and their soul. How art thou righteous before God? That is our next question. That is also our next thought. How? How is the Lord making it then right between God and the soul of His people? Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil. Who is speaking? That is a child of God. That is not a man of the world. That is not a mere professor of religion that is speaking here, but it is a true child of the Lord. And what does he say? He says, my conscience accuses me. Does our conscience also accuse us? Young people, does your conscience accuse you? Or have you stepped on that conscience so many times that that conscience is hardly even speaking anymore? He says, my conscience that is accusing him of what? Of sin. Grossly transgressed, he says, all the commandments of God and kept none of them. You say, is that a child of God who has grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and who keeps none of those commandments? Has he not received a new heart, boys and girls? Has he not been turned? Has he not been given a true repentance? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he has been given a true remorse. He has been given a true sorrow. He has been given a true turning from the Lord. How is it that man, he says still, that he has grossly transgressed? Is that then just something in the past? He says, still inclined to all evil. Still inclined to transgress every single one of these commandments of the Lord. What does he say? That my heart that is a fountain, that my heart is bringing forth nothing but transgression and sin. That is the cause of his grief. That is the cause of his mourning. That is the cause of his shame before the Lord. But that is also the cause of his doubts. That is also the cause of his fears. How can this be if the Lord has truly begun? And when the Lord has truly given me a new heart, or if that work is really his work, and if it was not my beginning, how can it be that I am still inclined to all evil? Why am I thus? And what is it now? What is it now that the Lord needs to show his children? Then the Lord needs to show his children, and the Lord needs to reveal in his only begotten Son one word. That is, congregation, if we may be following along, the next word. And what is the next word? We read here that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding. That is the word, that is the kernel of the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. The meaning of that word is so difficult. No, the meaning of that word is so impossible for that people to understand. Notwithstanding. That is a word that does not belong unto the covenant of works. There is no such word in the covenant of works. The covenant of works says, do this and thou shalt live. And when you have grossly transgressed, there is no notwithstanding. When you have grossly transgressed, then you are condemned. Do you see how the dead people do not understand that blessed covenant of grace in the instruction by the Spirit of the Lord in the knowledge of sin? Then it needs to be revealed. It needs to be shown. It needs to be opened up to them. What this word means, notwithstanding, that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God, notwithstanding that I have kept none of them, notwithstanding that I am still inclined unto all evil, notwithstanding that is the blessed word of that free and sovereign grace, that is the blessed word of that covenant of grace, notwithstanding God, without any merit of mine. Oh, do you hear how that the people, they are sinking away under that sovereign grace of God? That sovereign work, notwithstanding God, without any merit of mine, with nothing from my side. Oh, that sovereign work of God that has become the only hope, the only expectation of that people in the experience of the impossibility of anything coming ever and ever from my own side. Oh, brought into a holy despair of all hope in self. When the Lord is making all my righteousnesses to be as filthy rags in my own sight, and when I am brought only to expect an eternal separation and an eternal condemnation, oh, the Lord is bringing them to that place where that one-sided work of God becomes the only foundation where they can ever be delivered. The Lord is bringing them to that place where the captives are delivered. He is bringing them to that place where those that are bound are set free, notwithstanding God, without any merit of mine. But if there is no merit of mine, upon what is it founded? Our instructors say, out of mere grace. Mere grace. Not as if grace is just a little thing, merely grace. No. But only grace. That is nothing else. And what is that grace? That is given freely to those who are unworthy. That is now the foundation of that new covenant that will stand today, that will stand this moment, that will stand in the day of our death, to give hope and to give comfort in that hour of death, that will stand even at the judgment seat of God. That is free grace to those who do not deserve it. Unworthy. Unworthy of the least of all the blessings of the Lord. Notwithstanding receiving everything from Him for time and for eternity. Unworthy because I have blasphemed. Unworthy because I have persecuted that church of God. Notwithstanding, even made into a pattern for the sake of the church of God, of all them that believe. Unworthy even as Adam. Unworthy as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unworthy as Moses. Unworthy as a Samson, unworthy as a David, as a Solomon, as a Manasseh, notwithstanding, blessed above whatever Adam could ever have received through that covenant of works. Oh, then they see something of the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God. that are much past our understanding, and whose ways they are past finding out. How? How art thou righteous before God? Or is that ever the question of our heart? When that never becomes the question of our heart, how may I become right with God? We shall go forever lost. How art thou righteous before God? Out of mere grace to an unworthy and wretched creature. Oh, what a freedom. What a freedom did Luther find in this. When everything that he tried that comes to an end, what a relief did that thief find in this? Out of mere grace, notwithstanding my whole life, notwithstanding that I cannot make up for one evil deed that I have done, notwithstanding that I cannot pay one penny of that great debt that I owe, notwithstanding God, without any merit of mine, oh, then you understand that people, they begin to sing. When they see something of that fullness, oh, we spoke in this morning a little of that fullness, they shall be filled, that hunger and thirst after this righteousness. Oh, may you ever see something of that fullness that is in that way that the Lord has given through Jesus Christ, thought out by God the Father, merited by God the Son, and wrought in the heart by God the Spirit. Oh, a fullness. Because they have an interest in that triune God. Oh, a fullness. Because there is nothing that can come against that people anymore.
Let us sing. Psalter 422. Stanzas 1 and 6. My mouth shall sing for aye thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. I know how firm and sure thy wondrous grace is founded, established in the skies by love that is unbounded. As thy celestial throne shall never sway, no, never, so shall thy throne endure forever and forever. 1 and 6 of Psalter 422. How art thou righteous before God? Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding God, and without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect salvation, satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ, even so as if I never had had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such a benefit with a believing heart. Thus our instructors teach us of the manner by which one that is unworthy can receive the blessing. And what is that manner? That is also, as we have read together, that is by imputation. Imputation. Rome says no. Rome says it is by the sanctification of the Spirit of Christ. Thus they say the Spirit sanctifies His people, He cleanses His people, and when that people have been cleansed, then He makes that people to be worthy again. And when they are worthy again, then they can be justified. But that is impossible. Thus they place first sanctification, and based on sanctification, they place next justification. Why is that impossible? Because sanctification is never complete in this life. And that people always will make themselves unworthy again. It is not a worthy person and that is accepted by the Lord, but it is an unworthy person. It is a sinner directly. We read that, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the... Who, young people? The godly? No. That justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Thus it is not by sanctification, but it is by imputation. That is the full imputation, the complete imputation of the righteousness of Christ. That is that the Father, He looks only upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not upon that people. That is how it is possible for our instructors to say, notwithstanding,
that imputation has two aspects, because there are two aspects to the obedience of Christ. That is, concerning his passive and also his active obedience. Both of these imputed, what does that mean? Imputed, that means to be written on the account of his people. Thus, our fathers say, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, even so as if I had never had nor committed any sin. So perfect. That is something, is it not, boys and girls? How would that be when you had never committed any sin? And then you may stand before your judge. Then you understand there is no reason. There is no reason for a judge to condemn you. When you are without guilt, then you may go to the court without fear. That is the effect, that is the result of the imputation of the obedience of Christ. His passive obedience, that is to take away every sin. Blessed is that man whose sin is forgiven and whose sin is covered. There is a second part that has to do with the imputation of the active obedience of Christ. What was Adam required to do before that he could earn eternal life? That was to obey the whole law. Thus, it is not only the punishment for the disobedience that needs to be taken out of the way, but it is also the obedience itself that needs to be accomplished in order to gain eternal life. Thus, not only when we had not committed any sin, but as if that we had kept every single commandment to the very last one. And that is that we had earned for ourselves eternal life. That is the accomplishment of the Son of God. And that is now what is being laid on the account. That is what is being imputed, written on the account of every one of his own children. Congregation, how? How shall man be just with God? Oh, is that ever our concern? Is that ever the thought, the meditation of our heart as we are walking through this world, every one of us, going to our eternal home, every one of us having to stand before our judge soon? How shall you, how shall I be just with God? How shall we meet God? God shall be our judge. He is just. He is righteous. He cannot pass over one smallest transgression. We can do that. We can overlook it, boys and girls. We can look a little the other way. The Lord cannot. Because of his essence, because of his being, because of his justice. Not only can he not pass over that smallest transgression, but he is omniscient. That means he sees everything. What we do in the darkest corners, young people, he misses nothing. And we can make our self-congregation to appear so nice in front of our fellow men. But the Lord, he is seeing. Ah, would we want it today that it was written on these walls what was in our thoughts? The Lord came with a hand. You read that in the Bible. And he wrote the judgment upon the wall. How would that be when the Lord would come today with that hand and he would write upon that wall what the thoughts are that are dwelling within our heart? But soon, congregation, it is going to be so. When we are standing before that judge, and then everything that is going to be open and naked before him and before all the world. David says, O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And who knows? Who knows the day? Who knows the hour? When you and I, we know not whether we come home in this afternoon hour, but we could have to stand before our judge. Oh, does it ever make us tremble? Does it ever make us to fear? Congregation, when we cannot make you to tremble, when we cannot make you to fear, to consider the judgment of the Lord, is there something that we can say that would then draw you? Oh, that would then draw you that you may desire that it may be made right between God and your soul? Oh, do you ever consider your Creator? Do you ever consider your Maker? Is there anything we can say this afternoon that could make you weep? Oh, we cannot do it. Oh, is there anything? All the goodness of the Lord that he bestows upon us day by day, when we have turned our back to him, and yet pouring upon us blessing after blessing after blessing. Oh, is there never a desire that you may be restored into that blessed communion and favor of your Maker? Oh, is there never a desire that you may be restored again unto him that has made you? Or are you never jealous with a holy jealousy of that people who may say, as in our catechism, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life? Oh, is there not something to be sought in our life? The Lord has provided a remedy. A remedy. And how shall it be if we reject that remedy our whole life long? And when the Lord says to us that we shall be beaten then with double stripes, when we have known the way, how that a man can be justified with God. And we have not walked in that way. You say, I cannot give it to myself. Oh, you are so right. But can you continue then in such a proud way? And is that a matter over which we are able to go over this world in such a careless way? And we ask you something else. How do you know that you cannot give it to yourself? Because that is a knowledge that comes by experience, and that experience that will come by an attempt. How can men be just with God? It is possible. Oh, are there those that long that it may be right between God and your soul? Oh, has the Lord bounded upon your heart? Has this become ever that greatest, that burden of your life? Upon what foundation do you seek it? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Or do we not often sing, broken hearts are in thy sight more than sacrificial rite. Contrite spirits, pleading cries, thou, O God, wilt not despise. It is alone by the imputation of the perfect righteousness of Christ, that it is possible to be righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. Blessed people, notwithstanding all their remaining corruption, notwithstanding all the sin, the iniquity, the fountain of corruption, blessed people. Why? Because they are black, but they are comely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, all we need to be justified in thy sight. Oh, how can men be just with God? Oh, it shall become our question. It shall become our burden when thou wilt give us that new life. Without that new life, O Lord, it shall never be bound upon our hearts. And we shall travel so to our judgment. Oh, leave us not in such an awful destruction. Look on us in mercy. Come from thy side. Work with thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou go with us to our homes? Bring us safely to our places, each one. Be thou the after speaker. Give us meditation upon thy holy word. Forgive all that was sinful in speaking and in listening. Crown it with thy eternal blessing. Remember us in the week to come, each one in the place where we must be in this life, the callings in which thou hast placed us. Keep from all accident, danger, evil, and sin, also the youth and the children. And wilt thou draw our hearts to fear thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 248 stanzas 1 through 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide
and in his shadow safely hide. 1 through 4 of Psalter 248. Oh. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.